Why don't we take a minute and pray before we jump into our subject this morning? Father, we thank you that we can call you Father. I just think how some of us maybe didn't have a father, or we had a father that wasn't as loving as he should have been, and how you can be that father for us. And you call us into a family, and you adopt us into your own home, and we're grateful for that. We ask you, Lord, to speak to us through our time together here today. Challenge us through your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Some time ago, I came across a health website on Pinterest. I don't go there too often, but there's this health website that promoted a product that was supposed to lower your cholesterol. And my cholesterol has been a little bit on the high side, and I've resisted getting a statin for it. I don't want to take a statin personally because of what I hear it does to your organs, like your liver. And so when I saw this product that's supposed to lower your cholesterol, lower your triglycerides and other lipid markers or whatever they're called, I thought, this looks like a good product. And the product was being sold, in a sense, by this doctor who had developed it and insisted that it would solve the problem, and it was just this great thing, and he talked about a little bit the science that was behind the product. There were testimonials. There were people who had tried the product and said that it was really amazing. It not only lowered their cholesterol or their triglycerides, but it just improved their quality of life. And then there was some research that was cited from Harvard Medical School, indicating that this product was, it would do the job. And so it really looked good. And I thought, I'm gonna go ahead and give this product a shot. But before I bought it, I did something that has become my habit for the last year and a half or so. I decided to put the name of the product and the word scam afterwards, just to see if it came up, or hoax. And so I typed it in with the word scam or hoax. A whole page of websites came up. And so I began to check one of them, the first one. It was this nonprofit group, supposedly, that exposes hoaxes. And they began to explain why they said it was a hoax. They said, first of all, the doctor that's cited on this website does not exist. There's no Dr. So-and-so. I thought, oh, that's kind of concerning. He said, the picture there is a stock photo. He said, this same picture appears with these other products, selling other things that are unrelated to cholesterol. And they had the links, and so I checked it out for myself. Sure enough, it's the same guy. The testimonials were fake. Stock photos of people looking happy and healthy. The Harvard research was actually correct, but it wasn't directed toward that product. They did address some of the ingredients that maybe were to be found in the product, but there was no connection between the two. The website had indicated or implied that this was a product that was endorsed by the school. It was not. I had seen enough. Obviously, I decided not to buy the product, but I kind of got a little bit angry about it. I hate people that lie so blatantly. For whatever reason, I just can't stand the fact that we live in a world where you can't trust what people say, where people's word is not their bond, as the expression goes, where I have to waste a bunch of time doing research to find out if anything is true anymore, and that's the world in which we live. And it's a world that isn't limited to products like this. I think some of the biggest offenders to some of these things are religious people who peddle various things to those who are naive. A lot of people who would think, well, this is a religious organization, and they talk about God and they talk about Jesus, so surely this oil works. Surely doing this will produce the results, and we believe them because we hope against hope it's true. I personally think that on Judgment Day, when we stand before God, those will receive the greatest judgment. Ones who profited through the gospel and through the things of God to pocket and line their own pocketbooks, live in mansions while those who are supporting these ministries are hardly getting by. I hate liars. I hate lies. Now, saying that, I kind of condemn myself a little bit, because I have to confess I have lied before. We've all lied. Sometimes it's deliberate. You know, why do people lie? Sometimes it's to protect our reputation. We don't want people to really know the truth about us. So someone asks us a question, we tell them a lie. I've had people look me right in the face and I'll say, "Did you do this?" They say, "No, I did not." Looking me right in the eye, and then I find out, yes, they did. They just didn't want me to think less of them. And sometimes that's it. Sometimes we, I think, lie about things unintentionally. We say things, for example, like, "I will do this by such and such a date," but we don't. Now, that can happen once or twice, but when it becomes a habit where you're constantly over-promising and under-delivering, you are lying. It's a liar. And sometimes I think we just kind of exaggerate. I think in the past I've done that before, where sometimes I'll cite even some source, but then I'll realize, I don't know if that's true or not. I have to backpedal. I'll say, "So-and-so said this thing," and then I'll think for a moment, "Wait a minute, did they really say that?" And I'll think, "No, maybe not." But sometimes we say things that are not true, but it's not always intentional. I think we all struggle with this. It's unfortunate, though, that we live in a world where people deliberately deceive, where we live in a world where you can't trust people anymore. We have, I think, an integrity problem in our world today. And it's a problem that Jesus talked a lot about and others in the New Testament. Now, today we're going to continue our series titled Nine. It's a series that's based on what Paul called the fruit of the Spirit. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if you've put your trust in him to be your Savior, then the Spirit of God lives inside of you. As Paul put it, you are the temple of God. The Spirit of God lives in you. Just like in the Old Testament, God dwelt in the Holy of Holies. God dwells in you and in me. And he's trying to do work in and through our lives as we listen to the Holy Spirit. As we rely on the power that he provides, certain qualities become evident in our lives. It's qualities he produces. It's called the fruit of the Spirit, not qualities that we strive after. And yet I think we do need to cooperate with the Spirit. We've been looking at Galatians 5, 22 and 23, and today we're going to talk about the subject of faithfulness. Now you'll see how this relates to truth in a minute. But in Galatians 5, 22, we read, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness." Now, the Greek word that's used for faithfulness in this verse can either be translated faith or faithful. And so there is some discussion among scholars which it is. It either means that the Holy Spirit strengthens your faith. In other words, if you stay connected with the Spirit, you'll grow stronger in faith. Or it means faithful. You'll become more faithful. Most commentators say it's the second one, and I agree with that because it's a quality that's similar to all the others in the list. Faith is not. It's of a different nature. But faithfulness, what does it mean? You're someone in whom people can put their faith. You're someone in whom people can put their trust. That's why we're talking about honesty or telling the truth or living the truth, being a person who is faithful. When you say you do something, you do it. A person who, when you say something is true, people know it's true. Dr. Campbell describes faithfulness in this way: it's a quality which renders a person trustworthy or reliable. And he says it's like the faithful servant in Luke 16, 10 through 12. He's referring to an example that Jesus gave in Luke 16. Look at verse 10 with me, where Jesus said, "Whoever is faithful in very little is also faithful in much. And whoever is unrighteous with very little is also unrighteous in much." We might think that in some little area, if we're not faithful, if it's not completely true, if it's not right, it's not a big deal because it's a little area. Jesus said, no, if you can't trust someone in a little area, you certainly don't want to trust them with something that's important. That's the point he's making. So Several years ago, I read this story about a guy that was applying for a position at a company. I think it was the vice president level. And he had had interviews all day long, but during the lunch hour, he was free. And so he decided to go down and check out the cafeteria. He was kind of on his own. And it was one of these cafeterias that charged for everything. I mean, even like a ketchup packet was 5 cents, and mayonnaise was 5 cents, and little butter chips were 2 cents, and stuff like that. And this guy went through the line, and he grabbed some bread, and then he grabbed a couple of those butter chips, 2 cents each, and he stuck them under the bread. He just stuck them under there, kind of hid them. And he got to the counter, and the lady says, "Is that all?" He says, "Yeah." Someone was watching him. He didn't know it. Someone who had interviewed him earlier was about 3 or 4 people back. He was watching. He wanted to see what the guy would do. Would he admit that, "Oh, yeah, by the way, I have some butter chips," but he did not do it. The guy did not get the job. And I think, wow, you lost a tremendous job, something really important, over some little thing like butter. What do we sell our soul for? Sometimes it's just little things. But if you're not faithful, you're not faithful in little things, if you can't be trusted, if your word is not your word, if you're not faithful in doing things when you say you'll do them, then people can't trust us in bigger areas. David, who was Israel's shepherd king, as he's called, the most beloved of the kings of Israel, wrote many of the Psalms. And in Psalm 15, he described a person who is someone who's close to God, basically. And I'm summarizing it, but he basically says, what kind of person dwells with God? What kind of person enjoys fellowship with God? And he lists a variety of different things. It's a person who does this, and it's a person who does this, and a person who does this. Well, in verse 4, what he says is, it's somebody who keeps his word whatever the cost. You see, sometimes we say, well, there's too big of a cost. I know I said I'd do it. I know I promised you I would serve on Sunday morning. I know I promised that I would do this thing over here, but something more important came along. No, you swear to your own hurt and you do not change. I mean, it doesn't hurt to go to the person and say, "Hey, listen, I have this other thing here. Will you release me from my promise?" That would be integrity. But we say instead, "No, I can't do it." And we lie. Swear to your own hurt and do not change. Jesus talked a lot about this. In Matthew chapter 5, he dealt with a situation that was pretty prevalent in his day and age, a situation where, because the religious leaders especially, but the people also, were not necessarily people of their word, they'd try to back up what they said with oaths or promises. In Matthew 5, beginning in verse 33, we read, "Again, you have heard that it was said to our ancestors, 'You must not break your oath, but you must keep your oaths to the Lord.' But I tell you, don't take an oath at all, either by heaven, because it's God's throne, or by the earth, because it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, because it's the city of the great king. Neither should you swear by your head, because you cannot make a single hair white or black. But let your word yes be yes, and your no, no. Anything more than this is from the evil one." He's basically saying, in essence, say what you mean and mean what you say. My takeaway this morning is simply, let your yes be yes. That's it. Just the kind of people were yes people. Yes men. Let your yes be yes. People know when you say something that you're a person who's telling the truth and you're a person who does the truth. Because, you know, we can lie in the way we do things sometimes too. And sometimes things are what we call white lies. Half lies, not full truths. Compromises we make, they're compromises to our integrity. Jesus said here, don't even swear by your own head. He's not talking here about profanity. He's talking about making an oath, you know. He's saying, don't make oaths. Don't say, "By God, I'm telling you the truth." You know, if you have to say that, that's what Jesus is saying. If you have to say that, "By God, I'm telling you the truth," then you shouldn't, something's wrong. Something's wrong with your character. And Jesus' day, by the way, they'd never say that, "By God." And so this is where they found a loophole. They found a loophole to their promises. They make a promise, but they'd say, "By heaven." or by earth, or by my own head, by my own hair, by Jerusalem. I swear by Jerusalem, but they thought, since I'm not swearing by God, it doesn't count. You know what it's like? It was like sometimes when people make a statement that you kind of know isn't true, and then they take their hand behind their back and they twist the fingers. I've got my fingers behind my back. I know I said it, but it doesn't count. You know? I don't know where that came from. That's just, I don't know what about that, but that's what they were trying to do. Wiersbe explains the Jews were great ones for using various oaths to back up their statements. They were careful, however, not to use the name of God in their oaths, lest they blaspheme God. You know, lest they break the one of the Ten Commandments, don't take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Because if you don't do it, what you say you're going to do, you drag him in the mud, is what it's saying there. So, Wiersbe continues, they would swear by heaven or earth or Jerusalem or even by their own heads. But Jesus taught that it's impossible to avoid God in such oaths. Heaven is God's throne. Earth is his footstool, and Jerusalem is the city of the great king. As for swearing by your head, what good is it? You can't make one hair black or white or even keep one hair on your head. I know that's true. Trying to keep them all. You don't swear by something that's out of your control. They thought they would get away with it since I'm not saying by God. And Jesus is saying, no, you're bringing God right into it. Don't you realize heaven is God's place? The earth is God's place. You know, the hair on your head, it's something that's controlled by God. Everything, you bring God in when you make an oath, so don't make oaths. Now, this isn't, by the way, speaking against maybe if you were in a trial and you have to put your hand on a Bible. I promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Sometimes those oaths are necessary. That's not what he's addressing. I like the way Wiersbe summarizes it. He says the person who must use many words, including oaths, to convince us has something wrong with this character and must bolster this weakness by using words. If you're a true Christian with integrity, then all you have to say is yes or no, and people will believe you. Now, why does this matter so much? Well, God is faithful. God is trustworthy. It's one of my favorite attributes or qualities of God that I can take him at his word. This is so important because, for example, if you ever struggle with whether you're really going to heaven, whether you're really forgiven, whether you have salvation, as it's called, if you ever have wondered that or doubted that as a Christian, you have a promise from God that says if you put your trust in Jesus, you have eternal life. Times where I have doubted, I thought, I just don't know, I don't feel like I'm a Christian. I don't know for sure. I want to make sure I'm going to heaven. I don't want to get this one wrong. And then I come back to John 3:16. God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him, whoever puts his or her trust in him, will not perish, will not suffer eternal ruin, but will have instead eternal life. And I pray this prayer to God. I say, God, you said it. You promised it, and I believe it because you're trustworthy. Your word is true. You're faithful. Someone can be counted on if you make a promise. And that's the promise he makes to us. You have eternal life. That's the basis of my standing with God, knowing where I stand with him. It's not based on feelings. It's based on what I know is true about God. He's faithful. And I hold him to his word. And sometimes, by the way, when I give a gospel message here, a presentation, I'll offer a prayer. And one of the things I'll say in my prayer sometimes is this: God, you promised if I put my trust in you, I'd have eternal life. If I believed in you, I would receive this free gift. I claim it today. I put my faith in you today. Now, being faithful like this is something, as I've mentioned earlier, is not something I think that we'll always be good at, and it's not something that can be produced in our own effort, at least not to the way God would like it to be. If we want to be as faithful the way God is faithful, it's a fruit of the Spirit. It comes down to listening to what the Spirit is trying to say to us. For example, the Spirit reminds you, you made a promise here. The Spirit reminds you this thing over here, and you say, okay, and you listen to the Spirit of God, and he gives you the ability then to make the right choice. Okay, I'll do it. It's hard, but I'll do what I said I would do. I'll become a truth teller. It really matters that we be truth tellers. I have had a conversation with all of my kids about this. Don't lie to us. Whatever you do, don't lie. Because it impacts everything in our relationship, everything. If we determine that you're someone that doesn't tell the truth, if we determine that that's the case, you will come to us someday and you'll say, please believe me, I'm telling the truth. And we'll look right at you and say, I can't. I would love to believe you, but you lie, and now I don't know whether it's the truth or whether it's a lie. We've got to learn to love the truth. It's hard sometimes to love the truth and say, I'm going to hold on to the truth. In the last days, by the way, we read that because people won't love the truth, they're going to be deceived. We need to be people who love the truth, people who love faithfulness, people who are trustworthy, people of our word. Now, we've all known people that were ones who were so faithful, and it's so encouraging. You just don't have to think about a thing. They do what they say they're going to do. If they say something is true, you just know it's true. You just believe it. How refreshing. We've also experienced those, though, who were not faithful, not trustworthy. And maybe the first time you said, well, maybe something happened here, but the second or third time you come to realize, they're not someone who loves the truth. They're not someone, I can't believe it. You know, they say they'll be there in 5 minutes, but they come in a half hour. You know people like that? They make the promise, I'll be there in 10 minutes. Make it 10 minutes. Or about 10 minutes, and then you're allowed to be like 13. Don't keep saying, I'll be there, and then you're not there. And people wait on you, and after a while, everyone just laughs. Oh yeah, I'm sure she'll be here. I'm sure he'll be here. I'm sure they'll come and do the work. I'm sure what they're saying here is really true, because we recognize that people just spout things sometimes that aren't true. But they are so convincing in it. You believed it the first couple times, but now you don't. We need to be people of integrity, faithfulness. I want to give you some questions by way of application then. The first one is this. Are you someone people trust? I mean, do you think you're viewed as someone that is trustworthy, where you just know that that's how people think about you? That they could trust you if you say something. Or if you do something, they could trust you to do it well. That's part of faithfulness. Second, do you do what you say you'll do? Are you people of your word? Do you do what you say you'll do? Whatever that might be. Third is, do people believe you when you say something? You'll come to realize that there's an integrity issue if you begin seeing that the people in your world don't don't take you seriously at all anymore. They don't believe you. And the fourth question is this, are you faithful to yourself? Now, this one might not seem like it relates, but it really is. We make promises to ourselves, and I think this is the first place and the best place to develop faithfulness. You made an agreement with yourself. I'm going to get up at 6 in the morning. I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to do this. We make agreements to ourselves. Sometimes we decide we're going to do something. We say, I'm going to do it. Self, I'm going to do it. And then you wake up at 6 and you say, I don't feel like it. I'm not saying something won't come along sometimes, but the question is, are you a person of your word, even to yourself? The things you say, even the things you say about yourself, are they true? We say a lot of lies to ourselves, about ourselves. It starts, I think, there. Are you faithful to yourself? Start doing what you say you're going to do. You want to change in some areas? You say, I'm going to do this. Start doing it. Be true to what you said you do to yourself. And then I think it begins to expand to other people. Let your yes be yes. Finally, I want to mention in closing, as I do some weeks, that some of you here today maybe don't know where you stand with God. You don't know if you're going to heaven. You know, I mentioned something earlier about that, but you're not sure about that. I think we can be sure. John wrote about this in his gospel and in one of his later epistles, one of his later letters. He said we can know that we have eternal life because it's based on the finished work of Jesus on the cross and the tomb when he rose again, it's not based on what you do or don't. Now, if you're standing with God and your ability to go to heaven is based on the good you do or avoiding the bad or whatever, then you'll never know whether you're good enough. And just a hint, you're not. Heaven's a perfect place. You're not a perfect person. We can't fix our sinfulness. And so God knew that. He sent his son to be our savior. That's why Jesus came into the world, to pay the price for everything you've done wrong on the cross. He was executed in your place for your sin, as though everything you ever did was charged against him. And he died. When he rose again from the dead, it demonstrated that the payment had been accepted by the Father. And now we have this promise that if we'll make Jesus the object of our trust, if we'll believe in him, as many as receive him, to those who believe in his name, John wrote, they become children of God. Put your trust in Jesus Christ to be your Savior. So if you've never done that, it's just a simple thing. Most people do it through prayer. It's like, I know I've sinned, and I know I need a Savior. Today I reach out to you, Jesus. Today I claim John 3:16. You can claim Ephesians 2, 8, 9, which says, for by grace, which is something you don't deserve, for by grace, something you don't deserve, you are saved or delivered from the penalty of your sin through faith. That's not of yourselves, it's a gift. Faith is the requirement. Problem is sin, the solution's Jesus, because of who he is and what he did. And the response God is looking for is make him the object of your trust. So if you want to know more about that, by the way, we have a little booklet we can give you at the information table. I'm going to close in prayer. Before I do, I want to mention again that at the end of the service, there'll be some people coming forward here to make themselves available to you if you want someone to pray for you or with you, or if you want to talk to someone. Maybe you have a question about what you heard today. Maybe you want to ask more about what it means to put your faith in Christ. Come forward. They would love to talk with you. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your amazing faithfulness. You are faithful. And Lord, we want to be as well. We want to be people of our word who tell the truth, ones who live the truth, ones who have integrity in our lives. Even the integrity that what we are on the outside and what people see is exactly what we are on the inside. Let there not be a hypocrisy there, a disconnect. Help us, O Lord, with these things to rely on your Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.